Hey guys, it's Jessica, founder of Noonday Collection. Welcome to the You Matter podcast. On this podcast, I want you to get ready to be inspired to be more courageous and to own your worth. Get ready to feel connected to the artisan community and to the community where you have a place of belonging, the ambassador community. Because the truth is, you matter, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the conversation. Everybody, it's Jessica Honegger, your host for episode 38 of You Matter. Today, we are going to be talking about shame, but we're not stopping there. We're talking about how we can overcome shame and how our community can be a part of that for you. Because as our manifesto says, we want nothing more than for women to stand up, step into their story, and own their worth. And in order to do that for others, we need to do that for ourselves. So I'm really thankful for each one of these women today who decided to exercise vulnerability, which in my mind is one of the bravest things that we can do. You're going to hear from Liz Lindau in Colorado, Casey West in Atlanta, Jill Edwards in Texas, Rayanne Patton in Washington State, and each of us has a story to share, and I love getting to hear your stories. It's in the sharing of our stories that we realize that we're not alone. Shame wants to keep us seated. It wants us to make us think that we're small, that our story is unique, and that it should be kept to ourselves. And yet, when we come together, courage is contagious. As we begin to share our stories, that's what can break the own cycle of shame in our own lives. Not only are you going to hear different stories of how people have overcome shame, but you're also going to hear how we really do value Noonday your way. Each one of these women is on a different phase of their Noonday journey. Liz is brand new. Casey has been a coach for a couple of years and is excited to get to go for Leadership Summit. You'll hear from Jill Edwards, who's been one of our top sellers, but isn't wanting to grow a team right now. And finally, you're going to get to hear from Rayanne Patton, who, after a lot of perseverance this last year, is growing a team and is really excited to get to share more of her journey with you. Take a listen. All right. Hey, Casey and Liz. Thanks so much for calling in. Casey, you are calling in from, is it Atlanta?
Yes.
Atlanta, Georgia. And then we've got Liz Lindau in Denver.
Woohoo.
Okay, so now you know you'll probably never post anything personal on Facebook again, because that is why you are on this podcast. So recently on Facebook, I talked about shame resilience. And shame resilience is just the ability, what I define it as, that ability to interrupt our stories when we realize that we're hearing a story of like, you are a failure and you are a bad mom and you are fat and you are this and you are not enough. And we're able to interrupt that story and kind of reframe it and rebound. And that is the story of sales. You know, that's the story that that we're living in as ambassadors. And I love talking about how 80% of people say yes on their fifth time of being asked. But oftentimes, if we don't have shame resilience, we're never going to get to that fifth time of asking. And so you guys both shared on Facebook when I threw that out there. And so Liz, I'd love to start with you. Tell me what you shared about on Facebook when I said, tell me your shame resilience story.
So my story was revolved around more so not that people tell me no when I ask them to host a show or consider Noonday. It was mostly the no that I tell myself. So style is something to me that it's always come hard for me. A story that I tell at noonday at trunk shows is how I went from front girl in the city to actually becoming somewhat reasonably fashionable. So when I lived in New York City and I had all these friends that were, I mean, they were creatures from another world. They were so stylish and they had asked me to go to a club with them. And I asked them what I should wear and they said casual. And so my Texas casual at that point was, you know, baggy jeans, a team building t-shirt from 1995. And if I was going to be fancy, I was going to put a bandana in my hair that matched my t-shirt. And so I went down the elevator and I walked into the lobby. And then, you know, all of a sudden was my first realization that their definition of casual was not my definition of casual. And they looked like rock stars, just kind of standing out there in the lobby, and they were great. And they wanted me to come with them anyway. And I just remember sitting in the back of the club the entire night, just so embarrassed that I didn't know how to put myself together. But I was living in New York City and I really needed to figure it out. And so I just started learning. I figured that there had to be some rules or some sort of guidelines that could help me do this. And so kind of use that as a story. My trunk shows about, you know, finding your own style and learning, you know, a few rules and style tricks that you can implement to make yourself feel beautiful. And so kind of most recently with becoming a Noonday ambassador, I've been an ambassador since October, but it took me 4 years to become an ambassador. Side note. But when I finally did, you know, there was this huge intimidation factor because you look on Instagram and you look on Facebook and you see how all of these beautiful unicorns are like showing, you know, all of the different ways of styling things and their creativity is off the charts and how they do the lighting and the Instagram posts. And I mean, all of it is just, it just seems like, you know, draws me back to that, you know, front girl persona being like, oh my gosh, I don't have that. I could never do that. And why am I even trying to pretend that I am a stylist or even know how to do this? And so one of those things that I have to kind of go back and rely upon is that remembering is like, oh, you know, I've been in this place before. This is a challenge. I can learn. I can lean into it and just keep trying. And I have to give myself permission just to try. Yeah. I've been in so many so many situations where I've been completely out of my comfort zone and been so scared. And I realized that I had to give myself a mantra just to help me get through it. And so there were two things that really changed that for me. One of the instances that comes to mind is I lived in Uganda for a couple of years and I worked with women entrepreneurs there. And I was terrified every single day. But then I realized what was making me terrified is that I was trying to impress people. Mm-hmm. I was making it about myself and about my own need for self-worth. And so what was happening with that is that when I was going and meeting with women entrepreneurs, I wasn't actually really listening because I was really morally concerned, mostly concerned with how I was appearing to them and if I sounded impressive. And so when I flipped my mentality to being like, you know, I don't know exactly what I have here, but I know I have a little bit and how do I serve them? And so flipping my perspective to not making it about myself and making it about the person who was sitting in front of me and doing whatever I could to help the woman entrepreneur through her, you know, business problems and other issues and being a sounding board for her, changed the game. And then the second piece of that was that my mantra became second time Liz. That, you know what, the first time I'm probably not going to do it well. I'm not going to negotiate properly, or I'm going to fumble my words, or I'm not going to do it well. I'm going to do it better. I'm going to learn from my mistakes. I'm going to learn how to do it better and be second time Liz. And that's just what I'm going to be. And so kind of eliminating this need for perfectionism right out the gate and creating more curiosity, because I also know that, you know, a lot of most women in the United States are probably my size. They're not, or are struggling with fashion sense and all that. So there is a market for me and an audience for me to be able to speak to people like that. And if I'm vulnerable in my journey, maybe I can also bring other people kind of out of their shell and out of their perspectives and help them feel more confident and beautiful in some of the decisions that they're making.
I love that, Liz. See, I'm surprised it took you 4 years because we
I know.
Guys and going scared over here.
I know. I don't know why it took me 4 years. It just did.
So you found a home. You found a home now. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. And I know we can all relate to that getting out of our comfort zone. And for you, it's been more the fashion piece, but I think every single one of us has a different place of discomfort for us in our noonday journey. And I loved our last episode that we did with Sarah Sherwood and I, kind of specifically talking about shame and failure and rewriting our stories. We talked about how important it is, like, to live a life fully alive. We're actually designed to live outside of our comfort zone and to rip that bubble wrap off. And so thanks for ripping it off for the sake of our artists. And Casey, I know, you know, I was surprised, okay, to read your story on Facebook. So that's why I immediately wanted to reach out, because I was there with you in Chicago at the Leadership Summit. Mm-hmm. And it was like you were totally meant to be there, and you're such an influential woman. And I see you as such a leader. And yet what you shared on Facebook was that is not the story you told yourself. So why don't you share a little bit about what you put out there on Facebook that you now get to share with everybody?
Yeah. So I, you know, when the opportunity for the coaching summit was, you know, rolled out at Shine in 2016, I was immediately like, you know, I already had a pretty large team. Coaching just, it just kind of was a natural flow for me. And people just kept approaching me about being on my team. And so, you know, the opportunity for the coaching summit was rolled out, and I was like, that would be so cool. I would love to be there. You know, the point system was a little complicated, and I was like, and they changed it, and the qualifications seemed really doable. And so I was really, really excited about the possibility of being able to go. And, you know, so it got closer, and I qualified, and I, you know, the home office created a Facebook page of the other 26 women who had qualified to go. And I looked at that list of women, and I was terrified, because everyone, or at least in my perception, every one of those women was also a rock star and was also like top in sales, and they were quote unquote noonday famous. And that's not my story. Like, my, you know, I had been at that point had been an ambassador for well over 2 years. I just crossed my 3-year mark. I was nowhere close to rockstar. Like, I don't even think I had hit 50,000 in sales at that point. And, you know, and I had had several seasons where I had kind of taken off for a couple months at a time and really had almost no sales. I was still coaching my team, and I was still like bringing ambassadors in. But so when I saw that list of women, I was just like, I don't belong here. Like, this is not for me. This was a mistake. Like, I shouldn't be on this list of women. I can't go. Like, I just don't belong in this group of women. So, I mean, I went, I was like, and I posted that, like, so they, you know, Home Office created the Facebook page, and I was like, you know, this fear is creeping in. I'm hearing all these lies, and I'm like, okay, I got to nip this in the bud now. Like, I need to, because we talk so much at Noonday about like writing a different story and not believing this small story that we're not enough, and all those things. I was like, I need to put this out there. And so I posted on the Facebook, on the Coaching Summit Facebook group, and was like, you know, this is kind of where I am, guys. I'm not putting it out there because I need your affirmation, but I do need to like squelch this immediately. And I got some of the most gracious, like, I'm right there with you kind of comments from some of the other women. You know, and so I went to Chicago, and I was still like, the whole time I was like, oh my gosh, I don't belong here. You know, and came home, and we had the group of women that were there, we had a Voxer string that we were really pretty active on. And for the first few months, I was on there and just kept hearing that lie that, like, this is not the place for me. I don't have anything valuable to add to this conversation. And felt very undeserving of the honor of being amongst that group of women. And so, you know, there was a point in, I don't know, October or so, where I almost left the group because I felt like nobody really understood me there. And I think one of my greatest fears is of that of being misunderstood. And mm-hmm. so I was like, these women don't know me. I don't have anything valuable to add to this conversation. I'm just going to leave. Like, I don't even think they really like me anyways. You know, and I just, so it was like this moment where I was like, okay, I can walk away or I can dig my heels in. And I took the dig my heels in route. Like, you know, I'm just going to be myself and I'm going to stop like trying to be the person that I think I should be, or I think they want me to be, or say the things that I think are meaningful and important. And I'm just going to be myself and I'm going to share my experience and hope that someone benefits from that. You know, and I even like reached out to a couple of the other women in that Voxer group who are, you know, top coaches and rock stars, and like started our own Voxer string, you know, and some of those women have become some of my dearest friends at this point because, you know, we were able to connect on another level through Voxer and through just having similar noonday journeys. And so, you know, even when Jessica, when you posted that on the Facebook page, I, for several days was like, I don't have anything that, you know, I don't have anything valuable. And finally I was like, I'm just going to put it out there. You know, and it really felt, it was very life-giving to me and very freeing, for me, and like a step in the right direction, I guess, towards having shame resilience, to be able to be honest and say, this is where I am. And this is how you women have helped me, to not believe these stories or these lies. So.
Well, that is so powerful for me. And it just reminds me, really, when we were writing the manifesto, which you were got to be there for that in Chicago. And there's that one part, it says, by embracing our vulnerability, we create compassionate spaces of belonging for ourselves and others. And how in a time when you felt like, I don't belong, I don't fit in, you were able to sort of interrupt that story and say, no, I'm going to create a space of belonging for myself. And that took a lot of compassion for yourself, you know, in that moment.
Right.
To not just beat yourself up over that, and then to be vulnerable. And I think that is when we're able to, that's where healing happens. When we are our most vulnerable selves, and in that moment, mm-hmm. we're still totally accepted. And then that's where we create, there's confidence that comes from that and compassion for ourselves. And so I just love thinking about your journey, Casey, and how even this podcast is just another step in your wholeness.
Totally. Yeah.
I love that. So on the last podcast, Sarah and I talked about how important resilience is and how knowing your why is what also helps create resilience and tenacity. So Liz, I'd love to hear about your noonday why, and sort of when you're feeling those feelings like you're sitting at the back of the club in New York, like you're not enough. What's that why that you tell yourself to keep going?
You know, it's the artisan stories that usually that have the wind to my back in those moments. Like, I think that taking the focus off of myself and realizing that this is about something that's so much bigger than just my own feelings of inadequacy in parts of my life. So, I mean, I think also living in Uganda, and, you know, I visited with Jalia a couple of times while I was there, and seeing the artisans up front and just being aware of that. It all of a sudden puts so much fire underneath me that I'm able to kind of think through and push in harder to the areas that I struggle in, or lean into the shame voices and prove them wrong, is by remembering what I've seen and what I've heard, and that this is so much bigger than me, and that they're counting on me to do my job in this way. And so I think, like just even listening to the podcast with Sherry and Jalia, and them talking very specifically about how entrepreneurship and their partnership with Noonday has changed their lives, how it's changed the community. I think that, I mean, I just remember listening to that and just kind of looking up at the ceiling and praying and asking God, just show me how to do this better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I, and you know, you can get discouragement from people who are saying no, or, you know, I have a full-time job outside of Noonday. So I'm generally really busy. So making sure that I'm finding the pockets of time to make this a priority is really important. And it's those stories and the stories of impact and influence that Noonday is really happening. And, you know, seeing the change that's actually occurring in the world firsthand is generally what I, you know, carrying those faces and those stories with me.
Awesome. Yes. And you've had the benefit of being on the ground in Uganda, working with entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. So you see the importance of what we're doing by creating entrepreneurship. Casey, I want to ask you before we run out of time. I know that there are a lot of women that still feel on the outside. As much as we at Noonday Collection, we have our manifesto and we have this spirit of inclusion and we want to create spaces of belonging, I know that there's women that are like, I've never been to Shine, I've never gone on a trip. Like, and I think it's hard because so many of us talk about how we have found healing in this community and we've found women we could finally be vulnerable with. And people are thinking, how? Like, how do you do that? So I'd love to hear about how our ambassador community specifically has played a role in helping you to develop shame resilience. And what would you say to that ambassador right now who's like, I don't have a space of belonging at Noonday?
Yeah, I think the connection is really key for me. The connection to, you know, you talked about giving myself the freedom to create a space of belonging for myself. And that was a lot harder for me than creating a space of belonging for my team or for my hostesses or for my customers. But realizing that part of who I am is a connector and really like trying to figure out how I'm going to live more deeply into that. So the connection piece, like not only to my team, but to the group of ambassadors around me. So when I have kind of stepped into that uncomfortable place of getting to know another ambassador, whether it's, you know, connecting relationally with someone on my team, or whether it's reaching out to another ambassador and saying, hey, let's, you know, start up a conversation about this. Or that connection piece has been really key in building up shame resilience. You know, I am blessed to coach and lead a group of women who not only like inspire me and make me brave, but some of them have been my dearest friends from before college, you know, and then some of them have become my dearest friends as a result of being an ambassador. You know, I started doing this because I thought I wanted to do something and I wanted to help people. And it's been so much more than that. You know, I love that my job is doing justice. But I also love that it's really connecting me to a group of women that have my same heartbeat and that are really digging into these same kinds of things. They're, you know, intentionally walking into those uncomfortable spaces. They're intentionally being vulnerable in front of a group of women by sharing what their why is and why they do this, you know, and really investing in the lives of other women around them, not just here in America, but abroad as well, and realizing how alike we are to our artisan partners. You know, hearing like even Liz was saying that podcast with Jolly and Cherry was huge for me. Like just hearing firsthand from them, like how it's impacted their own personal lives and how they're just not that different. But, you know, we are so alike, the women that we partner with, and so that connection to them. And then hearing Jolia talk about how ambassador trips really impact the men and women that work with them. And it really, that global connection for them is really, really meaningful. You know, we talk a lot about how meaningful it is for us, but for it to be equally meaningful for the women that we're men and women that we're partnering with around the world is really huge to me. So I would, you know, I think I would encourage other ambassadors to, I mean, potential ambassador people who feel like they don't have that place of belonging, is to first figure out what it looks like to create a space of belonging for yourself. Like maybe that means you kind of carving it out and saying, you know, I'm going to carve out this place to be me. And, you know, maybe that means, you know, and if they're on a team, like that's an natural first place for them to go to create that space. But then even being active on the Facebook page and connecting with women there, it'd be really huge.
I love that. It's so empowering, you know, mm-hmm. instead of saying, I don't belong, or I don't fit in, to say, well, I'm going to create that for myself, you know?
Yeah.
And I love how empowering that is. Well, Liz, I want you to just give one quick example of how you have done that, because you are a newer ambassador, just joined a few months ago. Of course, mm-hmm. the girl who joined a month ago is like, what? That's not new. That's a veteran. One quick example of how you have done that, because you haven't been on a trip yet with ambassadors. You weren't able to shine this year. So what's something you've done to create a space of belonging for yourself at Noonday?
You know, I think participating, I love the ambassador Facebook group, and contributing on there, and also sharing vulnerably when things go well or things don't go well. What's also been hugely important is reaching out to my coach. I'm under Holly out here in Colorado, and she's just been so great. You know, she's taken my frantic text messages or calls when I'm don't understand what's going on, and is also vulnerable in return and telling me about her own experiences with that. I think, and additionally, is like seeking out other Colorado ambassadors who are here. And though I haven't actually met them face to face yet, with the exception of one, but just starting to be in, liking their own Facebook posts and their Instagram posts and being an active participant in their own social media and cheering them on has helped me. I've found more cheerleaders that way. Whereas if I'm cheering on somebody else, I find that, there's a lot of reciprocity as well in that, is them also cheering me on in my own journey. And it just kind of starts to create this snowball effect of within what I'm doing with Noonday and my relationships with the other ambassadors. I to echo Casey's point, like I've loved seeing all of the stuff on, all of the vulnerability that's being shared, just even on the social media platform, has been really great and inspiring, and definitely helps with that whole wind in your back thing.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for tuning in again from Atlanta and Denver today. And let's all be courageous together, because I feel like it's these conversations that encourage us to continue to be vulnerable, because vulnerability is hard work, but the reward is so worth it. And this is a safe space. Like, we want to create a safe space for vulnerability, because it's hard work that we're doing, going out there and putting ourselves out there. So thanks for doing that for us today. Well, thanks for calling in from Georgetown, Jill.
Thanks for having me.
I wanted to have you on today, Jill, because you have been such a tenacious ambassador. And I remember the first time I ever spoke with you, it's because you had some incredible months. And I'm like, who's this Jill Edwards? And then I saw that you were like a NICU nurse. You were working through the night. You were doing your trunk shows. So I first would love to hear just how you became an ambassador and what's your why.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So my why really goes back 20 years ago, and it's so important to me, and it's really what drives me. So over 20 years ago, we just unwittingly got involved with a little 3-year-old boy from Central America who had severe medical needs. And they needed a host family for him. And this is when we were still living in Dallas. And my then 12-year-old daughter met him first and just fell in love, and fell in love with, what the potential and possibilities there were. And she was tenacious. She would not let go of us, getting involved with this little boy. So So we did. So we jumped in. And, you know, you think about 20 years ago, and I've been thinking about this a lot today, you know, when pondering my why. And when you think about 20 years ago, buzzwords like social justice and anti-trafficking organizations and everything else were almost non-existent. If they were out there, it was very much on the fringe. And so we were thrown into a situation that we were totally unprepared for. Children being trafficked, actually, out of South and Central America, being families being forced to give up their children, give up the rights to their children under false pretenses to get the medical care that they needed here in the States. And we just were thrown into the big middle of something that we were not prepared for, didn't know anything about. And that just started our journey. And so he lived with us off and on from the age of 3 to 16. And we became very involved with his family, very connected with his family, because we were trying to make sure that when his medical care was finished, he was going back home to his family, unlike the fate of some of the other children that we saw in these circumstances. And we just watched the struggle of no jobs, or, you know, no sustainable jobs, you know, occasional seasonal work, and just their dependence on charity. And we're still very involved with this family, and we're still watching the struggle, and it's heartbreaking. And so that just started, you know, just deeply rooted passions, you know, in my heart for social justice. And then as time has gone on, and, you know, we've been educated and become more aware. And then fast forward to 2.5 years ago, and we had a family member just thrust into an unthinkable financial crisis. And we knew that we were going to help with that. And as a nurse, you know, you can just jump in and get extra shifts anytime you want. It's not hard. You know, if you need to generate extra income, you just do that. But something in me was just holding back. It's like I wanted to do something more, but I didn't know what that something more was. And then one night I was just reading a Jen Hatmaker blog, and she was new to me at that time too. And she had just returned from one of her trips to Ethiopia, and she was talking about Noonday and the organization that they're involved with. And I knew immediately that it just triggered something in my heart, and I knew that I had to be a part of this. But then there was that whole little direct sales component in there. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do that. Like, I so want to be a part of this, but I can't do direct sales. And so I struggled with it. And I really honestly thought that, you know, my husband was going to be my out. Like, I didn't go to him asking permission. I just went to him asking for his input. I thought he was going to be the voice of reason. He was going to be the one that said, yeah, that's crazy. You don't want to do that. And I went to him and told him what I had studied and learned and read about Noonday Collection and what all was going on. And he just looked at me like, this is a no-brainer. This was made for you. And so I just went, well, there went my out. And I jumped in September 2014. And that whole situation from 20 years ago and on to today is what drives me and is what is my passion.
That is so cool. I love hearing that. And I love hearing how, I just feel like you're someone who lives with open hands, just ready to jump in wherever God says jump. So I'm glad you were able to jump in with Noonday. So what was the story you were telling yourself back then about direct sales, and how were you able to kind of interrupt that story?
I think because as a nurse, you know, I don't have a business background. I don't have a marketing background. And I think, you know, direct sales just has always kind of had a little bit of a negative connotation. You know, you don't understand it, so you don't know what to do with it. And it's not, you know, I had no preparation in my background for the selling part of it. The heart, you know, passion part of it was there. It was just, how do I translate that into, you know, talking to people about what we're all about, but then ultimately you want them to partner with you. And how do you do that? How do you quote unquote sell that. And, you know, at first it seemed way more daunting than it is now. It's still hard, but I think you just, you jump in and get your feet wet, and then you just learn as you go. I'm a perfectionist through and through. I was raised by perfectionist parents, and I had no chance of being anything but a perfectionist. And so I'm thinking when I get into that, I'm going to have to know everything. I'm going to have to understand every single aspect of how Noonday runs their business. And, you know, I've got to have all this knowledge before I can even start. And I finally just convinced myself that I could just learn as I went and grow as I went. And that's exactly what I've done. And each season, I learn a little bit more. In each season, I grow a little bit more in my understanding of, you know, different aspects of our business. And I think if you could just allow yourself the grace to know that, you know, it's you're constantly going to be on this learning curve, then it's okay.
Yeah. I love hearing that even after so many years as an ambassador, that you're still on a learning curve. Do you, every season, do you kind of look at that season and think, how am I going to do Noonday my way this season?
Yes. Yes. Every season I actually make a conscious choice to sit down and go, okay, how do I want to do it different this time? What do I know better or more, or what do I understand differently now? That I can share with my people. And yeah, there's so many things that I thought I understood in the beginning that I understand so much better now. And so every season I just, I try to apply that.
I love that. So you shared something on Facebook with the hashtag You Matter, and be careful what you share, because then you might get asked to talk on You Matter. But I love kind of how you were talking about what you took away from listening to Cherry and Jahlia, and you kind of spoke to that tenacity, that's something that really stood out to you, that they're tenacious so we can be tenacious. And I think one of those things that can take us out of the game is when we decide to give our shame story a lot more credit than it deserves, and we decide to stay seated and stay small. So I would love to hear, especially in light of Sarah's podcast from last week, what has been a story that has tried to paralyze you, and how have you interrupted that in order to keep you going as one of our top ambassadors at Noonday?
I laugh at myself sometimes because I think my shame stories kind of have a bit of ADD. It's like I can't decide. One day I feel like I'm too much, and then the next day I feel like I'm not enough. But what really struck me in that podcast with Cherry and Jahlia was, I think I was really struggling with feeling too much. I don't know. Social media is a double-edged sword, right? So we need it, but it plays with our heads sometimes. And I was really in a time period right there where I felt like I'm just too much. This is too, you know, I'm so passionate about this, and it's just too much for people, and I just need to dial it back. You know, it seemed that everybody was interested in the pretty and the fluffy and the quick and the easy, and you know, they're sometimes what we deal with, and you know, the lives that we're affecting, it gets heavy, you know,
right?
Sometimes that gets, you know, can get to be too much. And so I felt like that I wasn't being heard by my community. And I'm going to tell you, you know, this is my sixth seasonal launch as an ambassador. And there are seasons that are just harder than others. And my last two seasons have been difficult. Because I don't know, you know, if it's the economy or what, but I'm having to work harder to maintain kind of the same results, or sometimes even less results. And that messes with your head because you feel like, well, am I doing it wrong? Because we want to think that hard means wrong. That if
right.
it's hard, that
That's
must
so
mean
true.
We're doing it wrong. yeah, that we must be doing it wrong. And so, so when I listened to that podcast, I was kind of in a period of time where I was like, oh my gosh, maybe this month I'm going to have 8 trunk shows, and I may be fighting for every single one of those trunk shows to even maybe hit $1,000. Maybe I'm struggling for them to even qualify. But then I may be in another month and I have 6 trunk shows, and those 6 trunk shows were just crazy good. And you start that numbers game and that comparison game, and you think, well, am I enough? Am I doing enough? Am I doing it right? Why am I not being heard? Why is everybody more interested in April the Giraffe than they are women losing their life in childbirth in Uganda? You know, you just start that whole that narrative in your
then
head.
It is, and then it gets real judgy, right? Because I think we find comfort, yes, and that's what we do in shame. We blame,
yeah,
you know, so we blame other people, right? And I think that's one of the first things,
yes,
how I recognize shame is when I'm like suddenly lashing out. I'm like, oh, something's going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And for me, and I say this over and over to anybody that'll listen to me, you know, within my, you know, local ambassador community friends or whatever, for me, we always have to circle back to our why, when we get in times like this, in times of, you know, shame, and then you kind of get into that judgy area. And you have to go back to your why. Why am I doing this in the first place? And I tell everybody, your sustainability as an ambassador is totally in direct correlation to knowing your why and hanging on to your why. You've got to hang on to that for your sustainability, because it gets hard. You get overlooked, or somebody would rather worry about a chemical-free home than New Day Collection. And you fight that all the time. And so you always have to go back to, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I, it's hot, it's cold, I'm tired, I want to curl up on the couch, I don't want to schlep these 9,000 bags in my car and out of my car. And, you know, always circling back to, why am I doing this? What is driving me? What is my passion? And for me, that's key. And that's really where I was that night that I wrote that response to Jolia and Cherries, because I just, you know, what one thing that Jolia said was that an African woman cannot allow one day down. One day down could mean the difference between food or no food for her family. And we, you know, as ambassadors, we're going to have seasons that just the normal ebb and flow of life. We're going to have seasons. Maybe we're moving, okay? So we can't do as many trunk shows because we're in the big middle of the family move. And that's to be expected. That's the normal ebb and flow of life. But the periods of time where we sink into, quote unquote, downtimes because we're in a shame story, we feel like we're not enough, or we feel like we're too much, or that our contribution doesn't matter. That's what you have to try to avoid, are the downtimes. And I just was really convicted when I listened to Jolia talk. I thought, oh, we need her on video saying this over and over to us, like, what the life, a day in the life of an African woman. That was so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think too, we get leaky, you know, we hear vision, we go to shine, and then it leaks. And so I think there is so much to be said about, you know, listening to You Matter, getting on Facebook, like, you know, reading up, you know, doing what we can to make sure that we're sort of combating the lies that so easily seep in, and that story that says, oh, you're not really making, just because you had 2 trunk shows fall through this month, you've only got 1 on the books, it doesn't matter. I am constantly trying to fight that lie, you know, in the ambassador community, because when I start hearing that and I'm like, oh my gosh, if you start thinking your 1 contribution isn't enough, so you might as well go. I mean, that's when this whole thing like kind of falls apart, you know, because it all happened.
Exactly.
It was just me starting off, you know, just me toting around my trunk of goods, and that mattered. And now all of us together matters, you know, so I think that's what I loved about reading that on You Matter hashtag on Facebook, was just kind of hearing you talk yourself out of that story. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Absolutely. You know, one thing, I was just talking to a hostess last night, and I think this translates over to exactly what we're talking about. And she has tried on several occasions to host a trunk show, and two of the times that she was, you know, able to actually pull it off, they weren't, you know, it wasn't a big trunk show. And so she texted me yesterday and said, I'm so sorry. I've tried to, I'm not good at this. You know, I've tried to do this multiple times and my shows just aren't ever good. And I found myself telling her, don't ever apologize for that, because it's that multiplication factor. And your one trunk show, if you, even if it's a $300 trunk show multiplied by, you know, hundreds of other women across the United States who are doing this at the same time, we're multiplying ourselves, and it's so important. And I was hearing myself tell her the same words that I need to hear, you know, all the time, that we're, it is that multiplication factor, and that it does matter, even if you're in a good season, hard season, whatever. And we have to believe that in order to pass that on to our hostesses.
That's so true. And I think it's easy if you're in a trunk show that's not meeting expectations to automatically start kind of, oh, it's only going to be this. You start doing the math in your head. I mean, and that's where you just have to stop and like what you're doing. And you've got to believe that your work matters so that your hostess can still push and believe. I love that, Jill. That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there anything else you want to share? Little tips about how to be tenacious and overcome your not enough, too much stories?
You know, I think that the biggest thing, my takeaway from Shine this year and what I've been trying to carry with me in this season is, I think it was Melissa Russell that talked about that you don't have to be perfect. You just, if people are going to hear your heart. And
yeah.
If you share your heart, that's going to come through. And that's really what I'm trying to focus on, and is just letting go of the perceived idea of perfection and just doing me. You know, I have to, at the end of the day, I think what the best things about this community is that the transparency and our shared struggles, and that we can glean from one another. Like, I can glean from people who I admire regarding their fashion sense, or glean from people who have an incredible business acumen, or people who I think just do incredible structured trunk shows. And I can glean from all of that. But at the end of the day, I have to take those nuggets, and then I have to make them mine, and I have to do me, and I have to always circle back to, why am I doing this? And I think if I go to a trunk show and I'm myself and I'm honest and transparent and just be myself, that's going to translate so much better for those women than if I try to be somebody else. So that's really kind of what I'm focusing on.
I love that. That's a good thing to focus on. I am sitting here talking to Rayanne Patton, who's calling in from Seattle, Washington, and she's actually driving on her way to meet a couple of team members. So, hey, Rayanne.
Hey.
So we are doing this podcast, as you guys know, as a follow-up to my talk with Sarah Sherwood about shame resilience and rewriting failure. So Rayanne really, she has been with Noonday for several years now. And so anyone that's been with Noonday for longer than a minute, you know, quickly learns that this really is about overcoming the stories of shame and becoming resilient, and how we're able to rise up from the stories that we tell ourselves. So Rayanne, I know that you really struggled, and a lot of women are new that are listening to this, and they're like, what? The coaching program is new? But the coaching program actually is new in the last couple of years, but so many of you guys that are listening in have never known Noonday any other way. But for those women that knew it in a different way, there was some struggle in people who had to really learn a whole new way of doing business. Like the focus was so much about booking trunk shows, but then it was like, if you wanted to be a coach, you had to really acquire some new skills and new strategies. And Rayanne, I know you were open to coaching, but were not finding success in it. And then now suddenly you've got a team and you're really loving it. So I just want you to just share your whole process. Where did shame play a story in that? And then how were you able to rewrite that story?
Well, so, I mean, if we want to go way back and have a little confessional here, I did sign up for coaching because I felt like, you know, as a top seller, I needed to say, yes, I'm on board with this coaching thing. But it was a real struggle. I mean, it was a real prayerful time of sitting with God and asking for heart change and just digging deep. And, you know, I had the three gals on my team who, you know, had put me as their name, and they joined a couple months after I did, so they didn't need any coaching, you know. We'd chat every once in a while about what's going on and, you know, when your shows are, but they didn't need my help building their business. They were already doing as much as they could where they were with what they had going on in their lives. And so, let's see, that was all of 2015. And then, and so no new team members in 2015, but not that I was seeking them out either. You know, I was like, I don't need anybody else in this area. I don't care about traveling as far and wide as I need to go, and not really thinking through the big picture, right? That, okay, if I find someone in this area that's a, say, 40 miles away and it's an hour and a half drive every time, and they're able to do three trunk shows in a week, and I'm able to stick in my neighborhood and do three trunk shows a week, that just wasn't swimming through my head a lot. So it was a lot of on my knees prayer, like, Lord, seriously, like, you need to make my heart change. And so it just started, I started remembering about all of the jobs that I've had in the past and how I was always a trainer in all of them, and that I loved helping train people to see their potential. And so then I started thinking about the fact that why wouldn't I want to empower people in the United States? I love this work. Why don't I want all of my friends to be part of this work? Because it can really change our lives for the better, too. I mean, I tell people all the time that I found my confidence again when I joined Noonday, and I found this giant community and just the ability to say that I'm a businesswoman and be confident in that. And so, so I didn't qualify for Chicago, and I was really stressed out about it. You know, I felt like, oh, I'm this top seller and my name's not going to be on there and everyone's going to think I'm a fraud and a failure. And
and let me just clarify for everyone, Chicago was our first leadership summit where people could qualify. It was our first inaugural coaching leadership summit, and it was specifically for women who wanted to grow their businesses through coaching to come and equip them more in how to do that. And so you definitely felt some shame then that, like, your name wasn't on that list.
Yeah. And it wasn't for not trying, you know. I mean, I had been talking to some girls who had little interest in the past, and that just wasn't working. And actually, my spring last year was, I feel like it was kind of a time of, I don't know, I want to say kind of pruning. Like, I felt like God was really showing me that I needed to sit back and let him do his work. And so, I mean, I was struggling to hit the $2,000, which was the lowest Radiance reward in 2016. I was struggling to hit that when that wasn't a struggle in the past. And so there was shame around that, too.
And what does shame look like for you? How does that show up for you?
It looks like retreating, lots of anger and trying to find blame anywhere but in myself. just a lot of numbing techniques. So I love Brené Brown. I walked through a creative journaling class. She did a partnership with Oprah a couple years ago on the gifts of imperfection and just really focused on what we do to numb. And so, you know, lots of like, well, this is terrible. I deserve this cute top or that cute pair of shoes, or I'm going to have a whole bottle of wine tonight because I got 5 rejections, you know, today, which that's not helpful to anybody, but it's right. What I did. You know, right. That's just kind
we
of
all,
where I
sit. We all do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I knew a gal who, had a similar story to me, and I had shared my story, you know, of miscarriage and just kind of losing myself. And I just kind of felt the Holy Spirit nudging me to talk to her about the ambassador opportunity, which just wasn't my MO at the time. And so this was like midsummer last year. And, you know, I reached out to her and I said, hey, I don't do this. I said, I just really am feeling a nudge from the Holy Spirit. I said, I have no idea if you're religious or if you're a Christian and you even know what the Holy Spirit is, but I just feel like I'm supposed to tell you what New Vision has done for me as a person healing from this sadness and trauma that I went through. And that was like early July, and we chatted for a few months, and then she signed on that last week in August. And so that was my first teammate in 2 years. And then fast forward to February, and then I guess what was that? The first week in March, we had that incentive in, you know, and now I have 9 people on my team, and I can only attribute it to me opening my fist. When your fists are clenched, there's no room for anything to fit in. And so I again had to tell myself that this business is to be approached with palms open, that God can't give us what we ask for if our fists are clenched so tightly. And I just love this group. I mean, they are rocking it. They are, you know, hitting every runway milestone, and it's just so beautiful to watch them see this in themselves, you know?
Well, and I love how when you shared it, I feel like before maybe when you were kind of putting it out there in 2015, it was more in this like hustle to prove yourself to like, well, I'm this top seller and I have to like maintain my place. And it was more about like how other people were perceiving you. But the joy of coaching has been like, oh, I want to empower other women. Like, and so it's like almost your approach to the whole coaching program has changed. And so there's probably a lot more joy in it now than there was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, before it was like, oh, my gosh, I can't find anyone. And, you know, there's these things. And, you know, when I have these goals, it's like, okay, there's this checkbox. I need to check all these boxes off because, you know, I'm not going to just go to qualify for something. I'm going to try to get whatever is the highest. And when that's not coming and realizing you have this achiever personality, which I didn't realize I had that until I joined New Day, you know, I don't like to say it's competitive, but it's actually more competitive for myself. You know, it's like, what have I done and how can I beat that? And so definitely changing my view of trying to checkmark things and seeing this as an amazing opportunity for a vast group of women who might want to do this. And, you know, I've also changed just, I mean, I know that we've talked about it for months and months about listening at your shows. And so just even listening, like in the last couple of shows I've had, you know, one woman said, oh my gosh, all I've done my whole life is raise children. And I used to live in Moscow and I worked for AID. And I want to do something different in my life. And I love this. And so having a conversation with her after the trunk show to talk about Ambassador Opportunity and another girl. You know, I just sit behind a computer in my house all day and I miss people. And so saying, hey, what do you think about doing this? Do you want to have a conversation outside this drunk show to talk about this? And so I didn't really listen before. And so now opening my ears and hearing, you know, this woman is crying out for something, and becoming an ambassador could absolutely fill that void she's filling in her life.
That's so powerful too, because I think many of us, you know, because we're so justice oriented, want to go in already with this attitude of like, we want to prove a point. We want to, we may even make assumptions that people might not care about what we care about, but instead going in with an attitude of listening, you know, people are more open to joining people that are listeners, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what been a powerful lesson for me, even as a leader, is learning how to listen.
Yeah.
So I love that. Okay, but I have to go back to something, because when you said the word competitive, you kind of were a little shy about it, or a little, you know, you kind of said it like a competitive. And I want to talk about that, because, you know, but if you're talking to a gold Olympic star, you know, you would never, you would expect them to say, yeah, I'm competitive, you know? So why should we be any different? And let's, I think it's about us redefining how we define competition, because there's a difference between competing with yourself and competing with others. And so I think that's where you find freedom. So let's talk about competition, because I don't want anyone in our community to say the word competitive like it's a bad word, you know, because it's not a bad thing. Being competitive is not a bad thing. But let's say there's, it's all about how you approach it, right? So let's talk about some of the good aspects of competition and how that does impact how you can approach your business.
Well, I think that when you're trying to better yourself, that can be a good part of competition. And I guess it's just kind of like that woman thing, right? Like if a man were to say, he would never say that he was competitive and think of that in a unattractive light. And so I am always trying to break that, like, I am a strong woman and there's no difference in, you know, what I can achieve and what a man can achieve, but it just comes off as kind of unattractive in women, and that's annoying. But like for me, competition is like, I'm not trying to like push my off of other people's heads and climb to the top. You know, I'm trying to become a better version of myself. And, you know, in that, like when I'm talking to other top sellers and I'm asking for, you know, tips on how they're doing things, like I'm learning things like humility and even what we just talked about, learning to listen better and learning to care for my hostesses better and really learning to put myself aside. Because, you know, I feel like sometimes in my business, I can become so kind of turned in self and thinking everything is about myself. And so when I'm able to say, that person didn't say no because they hate me and they think Noonday is unnecessary, they said no because they've got whatever else going on in their life. And so when you're talking to other people that we consider competition, it's not about trying to be better than them. It's just trying to better yourself. And I mean, really and truly, the more impact we make as a group, the better, right?
Right. It's like bringing your best self to the table and committing to doing your best is basically.
Yeah, but for me, like But like I'm trying to make my Noonday business my full-time business, and I'm trying to change what the masses think of direct sales and in-home events you know, to be more of, no, this is a direct impact and we are changing lives. And yes, it does happen to happen in women's homes and you might have to have childcare for your kids, but this is important work. It's just as important as walking into a store that sells the same thing. It's just you're getting to do it in a space where you can connect with your friends and connect with artisan-made goods. And so that can be hard, too, because there aren't that many of us who only do this as their sole business. And so, you know, trying to find that equal footing to Jan, but also realize that this is my only job and I need to put on a different hat when I'm talking to different people. And I mean, that is perfect for my team. You know, I have a gal on my team who she only wants to do 2 trunk shows a month, and she decided that when she joined. And, you know, I have to be able to modify my goals and my thought process around my business to have a conversation with her to help empower her in the way that she wants to run her business. So it's just, I have learned so much about being a business owner, being a leader, being a coach, just by doing this, you know, I mean, it's just really been amazing to see what we're able to do when we really and truly open our fists and accept what the world has for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I sure appreciate you sharing because I know there's a lot of vulnerability involved. And aside from that, I appreciate you just doing the hard work of not staying stuck in that place of shame or not enough, or, I mean, it took perseverance and it took a lot of reality checks and self checks. And I've just seen so much fruit from you being able to kind of, you know, own your piece in your story and then open up your hands. So thanks so much for sharing with us today.
Yeah. I wanted to share one other encouragement to, gals. April, I was really struggling. Sales weren't coming. Trunk shows weren't coming. If I had trunk shows, no one would show up to them. And I couldn't find any women who were interested in joining. I had 6 trunk shows cancel in 24 hours. And then I went on to qualify for a fully paid trip. So please, any of you girls listening, don't think that having the door slammed in your face 5-6 times is a reason to leave. I thought about the fact that this might, maybe it was time for me to walk away from Noonday, but, you know, I love that. I love the Nehemiah story about how God tells him to build this wall and he's met with adversity at every turn. Like, we're not promised an easy life. We're not promised everything is going to fall right at our feet. We have to go out there and do the work, and the work might be hard. So I just hope you girls know how much your work matters and that you have a picture of someone or a scripture that you love or a quote that you love pinned above your desk that you can go to on a second-by-second basis if you have to know that you matter and that this work is good.
Well, I love that, Rayanne. And, you know, perseverance is so important because we can't experience the fruit of that work if we decide that failure is going to, you know, keep us seated. And so I love that if you would have stopped, then you wouldn't be able to experience now the growth of a team, you know, but because you worked through that,
Yeah. You
know, you're experiencing the fruit of that tenacity and joy, really. So... Well, thanks so much. It's been great chatting.
Yeah.
Our manifesto talks about how her success doesn't diminish mine. So I hope as you hear these stories of success, of women overcoming their own shame, that doesn't diminish if you are still right in the struggle of your own shame story. We also talk about how we assume the best in one another. I loved how Casey talked about how she was making all of these assumptions based on her perceptions of, oh, they're rock stars, or oh, they have huge teams. And it's really when we assume the best in each other and we don't assume, oh, she's all that, so she won't be my friend, that we're able to really create a community, a compassionate community, a place where we can all walk through these places of shame and get to the other side so that more women can own their worth, step into their story, and stand up against their own voices of shame. Thanks so much for being on this journey together. I'd love for you to share your story, and you can do that on our Facebook page, #YouMatter. I'll be over there checking out your stories, and who knows, maybe you'll get to share someday on a future You Matter podcast. That might scare you. That's okay. We go scared at Noonday Collection. Thanks again for tuning in to today's episode, and we will see you next time.